from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Well, well, well. A little bit of Earth, Wind, and Fire. Good for the soul, as we always say. And, of course, when we got Earth, Wind, and Fire, we know that means that, well, there's only one of us here. You got to switch the camera over, by the way. There's only one of us here, and it isn't Joe. Because Joe is off today. Austin, how come you're not off today?
Well, I don't know. There's an event that Joe is golfing in. I inquired about the event, but did not end up putting my name into the bid to be there because we have the show.
Oh, well, we got to do the show. You got to change the...
It's changed. Did it not reflect that? Here, let me try to reset it.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on here. We've got problems. It's
the screen on my end shows just you.
Okay.
Does the screen that you see just show you?
Be frozen, that's all.
Okay.
I'm just not seeing it, that's all. But that's okay, no big deal. Off the Top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. There's a rundown of what's happening today's show. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service provided trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. I am obviously Paul Zeiss, not Joe Starkey. Joe is out today, but he will be back tomorrow. Today we do have Destiny's Child, correct, at 10?
Destiny's Child at 11.
And then the manager.
Big Shelty show today at noon. Man, Paul, is there some juicy Pirates news over the last 24 hours?
And then we have...
Michael McHenry at one. Confirmed.
So we have a big show of Pirates stuff, obviously. The big news, clearly, from yesterday is O'Neill Cruz. In case you haven't heard, they're going to experiment with putting him in center field. City Limits, I know there are a lot of people that are, you know, baffled by this or upset by this or however you want to say it, but I got to be honest with you. This is the best idea I've heard in a long time from this organization.
Well, I agree with putting Cruz in the outfield. A little bit surprised it's center instead of right. I think what people are more surprised about, though, Paul, is the suddenness of this. Like, they didn't test him out there for an inning in a blowout game like they had over the weekend. I think it was on Saturday. Or even, really, they haven't really tried him out there very much.
No, but...
Like, at all. Maybe a little bit in a simulated game type of situation. It's a brand new position to him. And with a month of the season left, that's where I think it comes in to be a little bit puzzling. And I'm curious to hear what Derek Shelton has to say today about it.
Well, my thing about that is, I think they finally have acknowledged that this season probably is over. That they're probably not going to get to the playoffs.
Right. I think what the...
So listen, that's why I like the fact that they brought up... Henry Davis. I told you this, the last month of the season needs to be about figuring out what you have for next year.
Well, partly because of that was that Joey Bart was hurt. But
true.
Yeah, I agree. It's
I think
good
they were
going to
bring
Davis
him up
here.
Anyway. I think they were going to find a way to bring him up anyway. My point is the rest of this season, almost 100% has to be about figuring out what you have for next season.
Yes.
Because that's what it really comes down to.
And I think, I mean, two takeaways that I had from this and what Shelton said yesterday in the presser, we have some sound from Shelton as well, is that when they acquired Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, it was pretty much with the intention of him eventually becoming the everyday shortstop. And also that they don't believe they're still in a playoff race, because if they were and they believed it, this would not be experimented, because there's going to be some bumps in the road for O'Neill Cruz in center field. It's a completely new position for him. He's never been in the outfield, any outfield position. It's a drastic change from what he's always done being a shortstop. So there are going to be some growing pains. That's just the reality of it.
Yeah, I mean, there is, but that's why you want them to happen. That's why you want them to happen in September in a lost season.
Yeah.
as opposed to trying to figure out next year, because I think by the end of this season, here's what you need to figure out. You need to figure out if he is a viable option in the outfield. Maybe you know, it turns out center isn't the best place for him. Maybe you put him in right, but then what do you do with Brian De La Cruz? You know, you still have this Nick York that you're trying to figure some things out with. You've got Henry Davis you've got to figure out. This next month of the season has to be 100% about trying to figure out what you have for next year.
Do you think that in any way possible, them making this move now could crush his confidence compared to a spring training move?
Not necessarily. I mean, I think the biggest thing is, if you read what was written, it sounds like he wasn't exactly 100% on board with this. And that, to me, is going to be the biggest thing. You know what I mean? That's going to be the biggest thing.
Yeah, Shelton said that Cruz was disappointed, but also that he's an unbelievable athlete. Here's what Shelton said yesterday.
Yeah, well, we presented it to him, and we presented it to him, and obviously he's disappointed. I mean, anybody that plays shortstop wants to play shortstop, and that's how it is. But I think the one thing we know about O'Neill Cruz is he's an unbelievable athlete. He's a really good teammate. And he wants to win, and I think that's the most important thing.
So they're easing him into this,
right.
DHing him the last couple of days. I would expect them – do you want to throw him out there in the outfield the first time on the road, though?
I don't have a problem.
Does it matter?
No, it doesn't matter. My thing is, with respect to the rest of the season, I mean, it almost doesn't matter to me in some ways – what their record is, although I would hope that they wouldn't just completely go into the tank. But they really need to figure out some of these things, some of these questions with some of these players. And to me, you know what? It's about figuring out what your best nine, if you include the DH, your best nine. Getting your best nine on the field. That's what it really is. So, you know, on a daily basis. And I think that's the key here, just trying to figure out who your best nine is.
And I think a part of it too, Paul, because the focus has to be for 25 at this point. Somebody tweeted out a lineup that I saw the other day that included, hypothetically, O'Neill Cruz in the outfield. And it had Cruz in center, Brian De La Cruz in right, Brian Reynolds in left, Key Bryant Hayes at third base. Kiner Falefa is your shortstop. Nick Gonzalez is at second base. Andy Rodriguez is at first base. Joey Bart and Henry Davis catches.
Yeah.
I mean, still feel like they're going to need to add a piece or two, even though I like the way that's constructed, but it hasn't worked over the course of this season.
No.
So you have to add something to that, but where do you change it?
The biggest thing is, I think one of the things we need to figure out the flights of fantasy about maybe Andy Rodriguez or Henry Davis playing first base or whatever. I'm to the point now where I feel like you've got to at least now you got to go out and get a first baseman. I mean, that's the one position where I just think that they're kidding themselves if they think that they have internal options there. And if you want to be a big boy team and really give yourself a chance to win, and I'm not talking about going out and spending, you know, $40 million on a player or whatever, you have to invest a little bit in going on and finding a first baseman that can play the position every day, be really good for you, reliable, someone that can hit it a little bit, you know, hit it out of the park a little bit, and all the other things that go on. That's what I would tell you is important to do. And so it's got to be a situation of where they're going to have to figure out if this O'Neill Cruz thing works. And the other thing they have to figure out while they're doing it is if Kiner Falefa can play shortstop every day.
Yeah, because he has been a third baseman, second baseman. He's played some short, but the defensive numbers aren't that good for him at shortstop. So how well can he perform there? And also, Paul, we've talked about this a decent amount before. The Pirates have like 39 infielders in their organization. Nick York is still a second baseman. Leover Peguero is a shortstop, I guess a second baseman really at this point. You drafted that Connor Griffin in the first round, that first round pick that they just made this past year, who won't be up in 4 years, but still another big organizational philosophy or organizational pick, I should say, towards a middle infielder. Termar Johnson's a second baseman. It's very crowded in the infield. And maybe somebody moves to short if Kiner Falefa gets hurt or bumps around a little bit, because I think he's more of a Josh Harrison type of player than an everyday starter. So moving Cruz to the outfield makes sense for a plethora of reasons, and the, 24, 26 errors is also a big part of that, too. We can't look past that.
Yeah. Well, again, I mean, that's going to be the – because to me, everyone is focused on whether or not O'Neill Cruz can play the outfield, and that's obviously an important, you know, piece of this.
But can he play shortstop?
But can Kiner Falefa play shortstop? Because if he doesn't, my goodness. I mean, you know, it's going to be very interesting to see how this all plays out. But to me, I think that's going to be the telltale about what they think about next year.
I saw
is what do they think about next year in terms of guys that are going to be in, you know, guys that are going to be in the lineup next year and guys that aren't. I mean, I think we can very safely assume Reynolds will be in left. We can probably safely assume that Nick Gonzalez will be at second. And I think probably assume that Brian Hayes will be at third. But the rest of it's all up in the air, isn't it? I mean, Joey Bart will be your catcher. Never, I think he'll be the catcher. But again, you know, with the younger guys, well, of course, they're all young. Joey Bart's not even old. But with the guys that they drafted and all that other stuff, you know, I think it gets to a point where you're basically now you've got to figure out what you're going to do at catcher.
Well, it'll be I don't want to say it's going to be a competition like the quarterback competition that the Steelers claimed that they had, or the national media claimed that the Steelers had. But because Andy Rodriguez is going to see a lot of time on the field at some position, they're going to find a way to get him on the field. And I still think they're going to find a way, as long as he's hitting, to get Henry Davis on the field. And that's what also broaches the question of what happens with Andrew McCutchen.
Right.
Does he become a four-day-a-week player instead of DHing pretty much every game? He gets, I'd say, roughly 3, maybe 4 days off a month is probably the right number. So what ultimately ends up happening with him? Do they limit him to playing 60% of the games, maybe 65, 70% of the games compared to 80, 85 that he's at right now? And that is another way that you could potentially get Henry Davis's bat in the lineup. Another guy who, does he truly have a position at this point? Andy Rodriguez, who's versatile, has not shown that he can hit in the majors yet, but has great minor league numbers. And Joey Bart, I mean, is he your best defensive catcher right now? Andy Rodriguez might be, but we haven't seen him for a year. So there's questions there.
Right.
Bart has just been that good. He's forced their hand in a good way, which is something that we're not seeing at other positions. It's causing a better problem for them because they have three guys who you're pretty confident in when there's a lot of question marks all around the diamond in other spots.
Right. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing. This next month has to produce a lot of answers. And I think that most people probably we could live with the idea that, okay, they collapsed a little bit this year. If we have the idea at the end of it that, well, they sorted some things out for next year. But if we're a month from now still sitting here and we're still talking about, we don't know what position O'Neill Cruz plays. We're not sure what they're going to do with Henry Davis. We're not sure, you know, who's going to be the catcher and what first base and second base is going to look like and all the other stuff. If we're still here talking about those things, I got to be honest with you. This will be not only a disaster of a season, but it'll be a lost season. They need to know for sure at the end of the season, when they're walking off the field, I think they play the Yankees the last week of the year, the last series of the season, they play the Yankees, I think. If they need to know when they're walking off the field in the last game of that series, what is happening for next year? That's what they need to know. They need to know, can Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, can he play? Can he play? Actually, can he play shortstop? Is that the position he can play? Because if he can't, now what do you do? Do you move O'Neill Cruz back if he's not playing very well in the outfield? I mean, this is a good idea now to try and, you know, figure out what you're doing here. I get it. But boy, if it goes south, it's going to go south in a hurry and be a total disaster. Then we're going to be talking about what I would call, you know, not just a lost season, but a season that was almost thrown away. And you start to look at it the way we look sort of, Ben Roethlisberger's last 10 years was, well, this is another year that you had Ben Roethlisberger that you didn't get it done. It's another year you kind of wasted. Well, it's kind of the same thing with Paul Skeens, right?
Yes, completely.
This is year one of Paul Skeens and you didn't get it done. Okay. But if you don't set yourself up to win next year, we'll be sitting here next year at this time saying, well, it's year two of Paul Skeens, and guess what? They didn't get it done.
And guess what? Rowdy Tellez has pitched in two of the last three games.
Yeah, which is another completely ridiculous. There should never be a situation where you have to use a position player to pitch. What is going on here with his bullpen? There's days it seems like they're pulling guys out of the bullpen. I don't even know who the hell they are or where they came from.
It seems like they just kept letting Domingo Germán get shelled out there.
Which they were
waving the white flag. You know that meme, stop, stop, they're already dead? That was pretty much the Cubs. But why is Germán still out there pitching? Why did they put him out there for a third inning?
Well, I think they were trying to, you know, preserve their bullpen, you know, all this
he
stuff.
He had like 55 pitches.
Right. But they were basically trying to preserve their bullpen and all that, and we don't want to blow out our bullpen in a game that we, you know, this. You hear baseball people all the time say, "Well, what we don't want to happen, is basically, we don't want one loss to become much more than that because." Our bullpen is so depleted because of one game. We don't want it to, because then all of a sudden, now tonight, if we have a close game, or if our bullpen's depleted, you know, maybe it costs us two games. I mean, I don't know if I buy that completely, but that's the line of thinking. And it is what it is. So we just got to, you know, you got to get to a point. You got to get to a point where you figure it out, you know, from that standpoint. And anyway,
I wonder though, Paul, how receptive O'Neill Cruz is going to be to this. Like, does he really embrace moving to the outfield? I think he will, but I think it's going to take some time. And the Pirates kept saying how athletic he is, and his true athleticism is what's going to be able to play in center field, and he could be a difference maker there. We know he's got a great arm. I mean, there's no questioning that. I'm curious to see how his arm affects the game in center field. Also, speed, range that he has in the outfield, I think, can be crucial for them. He's not going to be Michael A. Taylor out there, but it could be a benefit for them. But it's not going to – he's got to buy in right away. It's not going to be easy at first whatsoever. That's a hard position to play, especially at PNC Park.
Yeah. Well, again, I just feel like, again, when you really, really boil this all together – The Pirates have managed to make their last month of the season they've made it a lot more interesting than it probably should have been.
Irrelevant, but relevant at the same time.
Yes, I mean, they're playing a lot of games that don't matter, you know? And that's just the way it is. They're playing a lot of games that don't matter. They're doing a lot of things that are going to make us pay attention, though. Because even though the games don't matter, really, given where they're at in the standings, at the end of the day, I'm kind of intrigued to see what it looks like with O'Neal Cruz trying to play center field.
No, I'm very intrigued. I sat in center field for a lot of games this year. I want to see how he looks out there. Like, I want to go to a game and watch his movements in center field and how he approaches the ball and attacks the ball and just see his arm making a throw from the wall and see how far it can go.
Right, right.
You know, I'm intrigued by that. I'm very interested by that. I'm sure the Pirates are too.
I'm interested in trying to figure out what he's going to look like with respect to all of that.
It's not going to be pretty at first.
No.
It's not.
No, not at all.
It is not going to be good, but no. This is a long-term play more than anything, and I think that's why they started off at the end of August, the beginning of September.
Yeah.
So that it's not a complete cluster, you know what, in the first half of the season, well, the first month of the season next year. Because Derek Shelton said it, without saying that they don't view him anymore as a shortstop, he said...
Yeah, and I think right now, as of right now, we're looking at him as a center fielder.
Just as a center fielder.
Yeah.
They're not looking at him as a shortstop anymore. Yeah. And it's a stunning turn of events in the blink of an eye.
Fantex Live brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you or Steelers and Pirates reaction. As always, is brought to you by 365. And of course, there's a lot of Steelers news to get to, and it's kind of funny. The Pirates actually managed to, they actually managed to over, what do we call it, supersede the Steelers cut down day.
Yeah,
there's a lot of guys are going to be getting cut today, obviously, and a lot of roster moves. But we're going to talk about the Steelers next. But of course, when the Pirates take their best player or most important player or whatever you want to call them and move positions with them, it becomes a story.
Right. That's why it's such a priority right now. He's one of the most important players in the entire organization.
Right, exactly.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Well, there's the Pirates, but of course the Steelers are today going to make a lot of noise, as is every team, as they cut a bunch of players. I think they cut like 11 or 12 yesterday, and so now they're down to 80, I think. So now they've got to get from 80 to 53. Is that the number we're looking at?
Yeah, that's correct. And it's a far cry from previous years, Paul, where you would cut somebody after, the first preseason game, a couple rounds of cuts.
Yeah.
Then there would be a big wave of cuts after, I think, the second preseason game, back when there was four.
Now they do it all.
All at once.
I'm looking at Ray Fittipaldi's. I'm looking at Ray Fittipaldi's projected 53-man roster, and there's not really many surprises on any of these on any level here. It's pretty clear Kyle Allen's going to make it as the third quarterback, right? They're not going to cut it. They got to keep three. He's clearly their third guy, so that's pretty clear. I think it's pretty clear that, like, for instance, he has a third running back, Cordarrelle Patterson, but they brought him in to be a kick returner, so he's going to be the third running back,
right? I think he's going to get some reps at running back, too. They're going to use him as a gadget guy.
He will, but my point is he's obviously making the team, but not because he's a running back.
Correct.
He's there. Now, the receivers, you know, Pickens, Van Jefferson, Roman Wilson, I think 100% were going to make the roster. I don't know that there's any surprise in Calvin Austin, right? I think he's going to make it.
He'll make it.
Scotty Miller, though, is making it.
See, I actually put out a 53-man roster projection yesterday that we talked about on the show. I think it's just five wide receivers that they keep, and they keep an extra offensive lineman. And that Des Fitzpatrick is that fifth wide receiver.
Yeah, well, he has six. And he has Des Fitzpatrick making it as the sixth receiver. So it's going to be interesting. Des Fitzpatrick does add a little special teams. And his view is Calvin Austin does not, but I can't imagine they're going to cut Calvin Austin. Do you know what I mean?
There's no chance they cut Calvin Austin.
No.
1%.
The tight ends, Pat Freiermuth, Darnell Washington, Connor Hayward, no question. He has Mykal Pruitt making it.
Yeah, I think they're going to use Connor Hayward more as a fullback slash tight end than just a strictly tight end. This is kind of what we saw last year. And Pruitt, and they're going to run a lot of two tight end looks. And right. Pruitt is more of a pass-catching tight end than Darnell Washington is, at least at this point. So I expect them to keep all four of those guys.
Okay, four tight ends. Offensive linemen, Broderick Jones, James Daniels, Zach Frazier, Isaac Samalo, Dan Moore, Troy Fontenot, Mason McCormick. I think those guys are all, you know, no questions. The other two he has is Ryan McCollum and Spencer Anderson.
Right. Yeah, because Dylan Cook is now hurt and is diagnosed as out for, I think, just a couple weeks.
Right. I mean, I think that honestly, this is one of the most intriguing seasons I can remember in Steelers, in recent Steelers history at least. I just think, I mean, we have no idea what this team is going to do.
No clue.
I have no idea. Here's the thing. I have no idea if Broderick Jones is going to be a good left tackle or not. I mean, I have no idea if he's a good right tackle. I have no idea if, for instance, Troy Fontenot is ready. Is he ready to play? I mean, I have no idea about that either. So you have an offensive line that's got a lot of question marks and a lot of things that you need to figure out. And then, on top of that, you've got a quarterback situation that I just don't know how anybody can be definitively saying, well, this guy's going to be really good or that guy's going to be really good and all that other stuff. Because to me, Russ Wilson was okay last year, terrible the year before. He really hasn't been that guy for like 3 or 4 years. Justin Fields has never been that guy. So when you look at these two guys that are that your quarterbacks, you say to yourself, well, okay, I think that one has a lot of talent and the other one has proven, you know, that he can play at a pretty high level at times. But we have to see it. That's the big thing. So when you look at the offense, which we just went over, I mean, city limits, it could be a big upgrade over last year, or it could be terrible.
And that's why I kind of want the young guys just to play, work out the kinks early on in the season, especially because the schedule is much more favorable in the beginning part of the season than later.
Yeah.
So why not give them the opportunity to just go out there and try to prove it and learn and get the camaraderie down in game action right now compared to, let's say, for example, because we know Dan Moore's not going to be here next year. Everybody knows that. Just put Broderick Jones at left. Just get it over with. Put Troy Faltanu at right. Let them work it out. Same thing with Zach Frazier, rather, at center. Mason McCormick eventually is going to be a starting guard, probably replacing James Daniels. So you don't do it when you're panicking in the middle of the season because, oh, Dan Moore's getting blown up over there at left tackle. Well, let's change it up now. And then here comes Myles Garrett rushing from the outside. Here comes the guys from Baltimore rushing from the outside. Here comes Trey Hendrickson in that meaty portion of the schedule once you get into the middle portion of November and end of December. Just do it now.
Yeah. Well,
let him play.
Their view is if he's not ready, they've got winnable games early. You know what I mean?
But that's part of the reason why I think they should go out there, because they are winnable games.
But that's the point. They want to make sure they win them. And I think that that's going to be the sticking point is, because the bottom line is if Dan Moore Jr. is still better than these guys, then that's probably a problem, isn't it?
Yeah, I would think so.
But
they're also probably giving
them. If he's more ready to play right now, I don't know. I go back and forth with it because, like I said, they brought in Broderick Jones, what, about 4 or 5 games into the season last year?
Yeah.
And it seemed to work for a little bit. I don't know that he was great. I think a lot of people were more enamored with him because he was a first-round pick than what his performance actually was.
And that he was better than Okorafor and Dan Moore
right.
at the time.
Which, by the way, did you see Chooks making the national film the other night by having three pre-snap penalties in a row, one including one that wiped a touchdown off?
Yes, and this is what the ref said about it.
Illegal formation. Once again, left tackle number 77 was lined up in the backfield. It's a 5-yard penalty. There is no score. We'll replay second down.
We talked about this yesterday. When the ref is roasting you, you know you have considerable problems.
Right, right. He's tired of calling your number, basically, is what that is. I mean, at the end of the day. But anyway, Chooks. So they really have to figure this offensive line out before anything else gets figured out. I mean, it's pretty clear your interior guys, Siamolo and Daniels and Zach Frazier, it's pretty clear those three are cemented in those three positions. But the tackle spot is pretty important, I would say.
Yeah, important.
I would say that you want to try and figure out who it is. And it seems, you know, Troy Faatano is actually, I think, how you say it. It's a him and Broderick Jones are the two guys that you drafted to be that guy. So I actually agree with you that if that's the way it's going to go, then just put those two out there and be done with it. By the same token, I just feel like it's important to note that when it comes down to all of these things, it's important to note that they've got to figure this out in a big way.
And you also have to figure it out because you need to provide the best protection possible for Russell Wilson and or Justin Fields.
Right.
And it's going to be Russell Wilson to start. And we saw how poor that offensive line played in the preseason. And I don't want to overreact to that because it's the preseason.
Right.
And we know what we've done in the past overreacting to the preseason. But in the same token, in the same sentence, Russell Wilson is not the type of mobile guy that Justin Fields is with potentially that bad offensive line. I think they're going to be good, but if they play like they did in the preseason.
Right.
To the point where he's not going to be able to scramble and be as effective as he was when he was 25, 26, 27-year-old Russell Wilson going to Super Bowls.
Right.
He's not as mobile as before. He's not as much of a... not running quarterback, but a scrambling quarterback who can create outside the pocket. He's more of a pocket passer now. He can still move, but not as effectively. And that's why the offensive line has to be stabilized, whatever the best combination is.
So, well, they're going to cut 29 more guys today.
Right.
So, here's the big question, though. And again, you want to have your offensive line stable, especially a quarterback like Russ Wilson, who takes a lot of sacks. You know what I mean? But... My thing with this offense is I think everybody assumes it's going to be better. I hear this a lot. Oh, well, they got a better offensive coordinator. They got a better quarterback. They got this. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, in theory, I could see that. But I still can't get out of my head the vision of this. I don't know who the second receiver is that's a legitimate threat to scare anybody out there on defense. I'm not sure what the tackle situation is.
Right.
I don't know what Russ has left in the tank. So, yeah, in theory, when you write it on paper, it looks like, well, it's better. They're better. No question they're better. But then you actually have to go out and do it, and it gets to a point where you're like, are they better? I don't know.
Another side note to that. I'm surprised Pat Freiermuth has not received an extension by now,
right.
Or at least one that's been announced.
If he doesn't get one there the next week.
That's a little fascinating note.
Yeah. If he doesn't get one in the next week, it means he's going to go into the season and not have one.
Not have a deal. Or Cam Hayward.
As for yesterday, Kenadre Thomas, Marquise Spencer, Kiava Tezeno, Tyler Beach, and Devery Hamilton, and Dejon Edwards and Jacob Copeland and TJ Luther. Now they got 29 more guys to cut off the roster.
The weird thing about it, Paul, is we've seen it in previous years where somebody, Jaylen Warren, for example, somebody has jumped off the page
right.
and has made a significant impact during a preseason game to earn a roster spot. who is that guy this year?
I don't think there is one.
Dez Fitzpatrick may be the only one, and it's because the wide receiver room is so thin. He made a couple plays
and
in the Lions game.
I don't even think he's going to – I would say it's probably 50-50 that he makes it, right?
And he's probably gone. If they trade for Brandon Ayuk, he's gone. I still think they are acting under the caveat that they're going to add a wide receiver. So Dez Fitzpatrick, when it's all said and done, will probably make the roster today, but will he be dressed in Atlanta?
There you go. The Texans – see, this is the other thing we've got to continue to watch.
The trade market.
Or just the Texans cut C.J. Henderson, the cornerback who was the ninth pick overall.
Really?
The ninth overall pick of the 2020 draft.
From Florida.
C.J. Henderson has been cut by the Texans. Because that's the other part of it. It was funny. And this is what happens. There was a player from Pitt. I won't mention his name, but anyway, there was a player from Pitt who initially the day of cutdowns made the roster. I sent him a nice congratulatory text, and yeah, because back then I was covering Pitt. You know, it's like, yeah, congratulations, great job, blah 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 blah. 24 hours later, he was cut when they signed somebody off of somebody else's waiver wire.
Yeah.
And so just because you make the team today, it doesn't mean you're still going to be on the team tomorrow.
Not at all.
Like, I would say this. If you're one of those guys at the bottom of the roster, and you know who you are, you probably should wait till about Monday or Tuesday to start feeling a little bit comfortable that, okay, I've actually made the team.
Because they're going to make a couple moves. They do it every year. Every team does it just about.
You know, I mean, all day long so far, Adam Schefter has been tweeting out guys that are, you know, guys that have a name recognition or former first-round picks or whatever. And so those things happen. Jimmy Morrissey was a Pitt guy, right?
Yeah.
The Giants cut Jimmy Morrissey, signed with the practice squad. Apparently he'll sign with the practice squad. So, but my thing is, that's what's so intriguing about today. It's not necessarily even about who the Steelers cut, because we kind of know who's going to make the team, who's going to cut. To me, it's all the names that are cut from all these other teams and how they might fit, you know, if the Steelers were to go out and try and get them.
Yeah, does a Robert Woods get cut with the Texans? Or does a John Metchie get traded from Houston? That's kind of the wide receiver room that I'm looking at right now if the Steelers end up making a move.
Yeah. So we'll have to see. And then, of course, there's still the Brandon Ayuk thing still out there. I mean,
I thought we were supposed to have an answer with that sometime this week.
I'm just saying.
Or last
week. That's still out there.
Or the week before that.
Right. Oh, Terrell Edmonds got cut.
He did, yeah. Would you bring him back?
No.
I don't know where he'd play.
These back to the future hires. We don't need these back to the future hires. You know?
Like everyone that was clamoring for Juju to return over the last couple weeks.
I'm just saying, yes. These things now are coming, you know, every rapid fire. Who's getting cut from all these teams?
The 49ers waived punter Presley Harvin III.
Another former Steeler.
Yep.
I bet you we could go around between all the teams cutting guys. How many of them are former Steelers?
Giants release Miles Boykin but want to bring him back to their practice squad. Remember Miles Boykin?
Yeah, Miles
Wide
Boykin,
receiver?
Another former Steelers. Wait, Allen Robinson, isn't he a former Steeler?
He played on the team last year, yeah.
He was invisible
at times, but he was on the team.
He just got cut as well. So we are fully into the whole time to cut down the rosters, but I think what the Steelers are going to do is try and figure out the best they can do to get the guys that that can help them. So I think even once they announce their 53-man roster, it could change in a few days as they start to bring in some other guys or make some trades or whatever.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at MyBob's.com to play now.